Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Okay, welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Yes, I can hear you. Everybody, I want everybody to listen to me. We got 1,600 people in here. In the future, if you can't get in the room, this is for everybody. I can't call you and call you back because people are calling me back, then I got to get off and get back in. Stay in the room and keep calling. When there's a lot of people in the room, this happens. We have over 17,000 people in this room. Amen? Okay. Let me, because I can't keep knocking off a lot of people coming in here, and I can't control that. So in the future, don't nobody call me. Just go and call back. Don't call me. Pray, ask the Lord, because that's making me have to. And then I'm hearing people that think of me being mean to them. I can't talk to them, say the wrong thing. They just brush off, and it offends them. Sensitive to the flesh, to their soul. And I'm trying to work, and I love all of you. Just call and go back in the room. Thank you. All right, we got a topic that don't nobody wanted to deal with, not even in the church. Hell. H-E-L-L, going to hell.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us, O Lord God. Father, the word says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Lord, use me as your oracle. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit lead and guide me according to Luke 12:11 and Mark 13:11, that we're not supposed to premeditate, but at the hour the Holy Spirit will give us what we need to say at that hour. In Jesus of Nazareth's name, you get all the honor. You get all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about a subject that you don't really hear too much, and it's amazing to see that when I was a chaplain at Southfield Medical Center, I used to do funerals, and everybody went to heaven. No one went to hell. No one went to hell. And he was a good man, and he's now in heaven. And then you hear Sammy Davis Jr., he's in heaven. Trick Daddy, and some rap artists, they've gone up in there. You're not rapping up in heaven. There's no rap in heaven. That's out. Okay, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the third day and is seated at the right hand of the Father, if you haven't confessed Jesus with your mouth, according to Romans 10:9, you're not going to heaven. So we want to deal with some words, Tartarus and Guyana, which is hell, and we want to talk about Satan briefly. A lot of people think that Satan is in hell. Satan is not in hell. Okay, and some of you know this, for most of the audience in here, a more mature Christian audience, but this is going out on the internet radio. And there may be someone in this that's listening to us somewhere that don't know this. So I ask for you heavyweights who's been around to be patient with me. Amen. Okay, the word Shiloh, S-H-E-O-L, that's where Jesus went. Okay, Shiloh or Hades. In the Old Testament, the word means grave or pit. Remember that. Let's talk about Satan. And people think that the devil is in hell. The devil is not in hell. That's where he's going to be, and then he's going to be re-released. He's going to be in there for 1,000 years, and then he's going to be re-released. We're going to talk about that. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, if you turn to 2 Corinthians Chapter 4, verse 4. I want to thank all of you listening, audience listening to us. My name is Pastor Emmett Overton. And stay tuned for our last Modern Day Apostle, Derek Prince Ministries. We also will be having Noble Hayes, Kenneth Hagin, Frank Hammond, Arthur Pigs and Apollo, Apostle John Eckhart, Gene Moody Owl, Apostle Gene Moody out of Louisiana, Sister Helena, who will be ministering, and my spiritual mother, Miss Brown. I love my spiritual mother. I want to thank you. And also, for you listening audience who would like to get this book, Destroying the Works of Witchcraft Through Fasting and Prayer, this is a spiritual mother. She just said, I'm going to have to adopt you. And we've been clicking ever since. She's in the deliverance ministry. She specializes in witchcraft. You want to get this book, please contact us at fdimresearch@hotmail.com. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world, in whom the god of this world has blinded. So the devil is the god of this world, and he's here until Jesus comes back. And the Lord uses the devil, because if it wasn't for the devil, you probably wouldn't even come to the Lord. Everything runs good and smooth. You would never probably worship God because you probably jump into idolatry. And we need that beast as a part that God uses to bring us to him. Also, to see about that, the Bible says that that Satan is the god of this world is in John chapter 12, verse 31. Briefly go to the book of John chapter 12, verse 31. 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's the devil. Also John 14:30. Also John chapter 16 verse 11. Again John 12:31. John 14:30. John 16:11. And Ephesians 2:2, he's in the atmosphere. And 1 John 5:19 also. Satan holds power over much of the activity of this present age. His rule is, however, temporary and conditional. Satan continues only by God's permission until the end of history. And that's in Revelations chapter 19, verse 11, and Revelations chapter 20, verse 10. Okay? Human spirits are in hell. We're going to look at Lazarus. We're going to look at who's in hell and who's not in hell. And the Bible says that the doom of false teachers will go to hell. Anybody who's teaching a false doctrine will go to hell. Now, let me say, this is my personal belief. This is not the Lord. This is Pastor Overton's, my belief. I think that if the gospel's not preached in deliverance and casting out demons, that's not the full gospel. That'll open up a door to people to go to hell. If you reject the deliverance ministry, if church organizations come up against the deliverance ministry, they're coming up against the power of God, and you become an enemy of God. So people can get so caught up in denominations and institutions and go to hell with that. So let's look at some doomed false teachers according to the Bible, and let's see where they will go. Let's look at Jude chapter 1. Verse 1 through 5, if you turn to the book of Jude. In the book of Jude, we're talking about hell, certain compartments in hell, and what's the purpose for hell? Hell is not intended for people. It's meant for fallen angels. And we go there because we disobey God's word and wish to choose to live our own life and serve the pleasures of sin that sent us to hell. In Jude chapter 1, verse 5, it says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believeth not. And if you don't believe not Jesus, you're going to go to hell. And then it says, and the angels. Now notice this does not say demon. This says angels. So Satan has angels, and there are angels that are fallen angels, a third of the heavenly hosts. Had fell out of heaven, and some of these angels, here the Bible say, angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own inhabitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. And there are dark areas in hell. The Bible speaks of a bottomless pit, darkness, in that scripture. This is a two-part series, and I will give you some scriptures to substantiate what I'm saying. Okay, let's look at 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, this is not demons, this is angels, but cast them down to hell. So we know that angels are cast down in hell, certain angels. And delivered them into chains of darkness. So some are cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. So in hell, there's darkness to be reserved until what? Judgment. Okay, that's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, The eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Ungodly people, they send themselves to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. Okay, and remember in Jude 1:7 it says, even as Solomon and Gomorrah and their cities about them in like manner gave themselves over to fornication. So if you're operating in fornication, if you're operating in adultery, I believe that if you look at a woman, you have committed adultery in your heart. You keep operating in that, you keep operating in that, God gives us grace for certain sins. You got to get that thing taken care of because you'll never know when God's going to take you away. Never know when your grace is going to run out. So work on your salvation. Paul says that we must work our salvation out with fear and trembling and thinking. That's in Philippians 2, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Make sure that you work out your salvation. If you have issues that you know is displeasing to the Lord, ask God to give you grace and deal with it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And then it says again in Jude 1:7, even as Solomon and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner gave themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. That's a man that wants strange women. That's a married man. God gave me a revelation. Strange flesh. That's not his wife. So the Lord told me that that's a married man after strange flesh. His wife is one what? So if he after somebody else that's strange, that's not his. That's for married men. And then it says, and are set forth as an example. So if you're going after strange flesh, and if you are in fornication, those are signs that, according to the Bible, that you will go to hell. Okay, so let's go back for the examples of those who will go to hell is in Jude 1:7. And it says, set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Example of those who go to hell is in 2 Peter 2:6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with the overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live life ungodly. So homosexuals, you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. Point blank. And you can't get married because you can't marry another man. That's demonic. Hell is for Satan and his angels. Now notice the Bible says hell is for Satan and his angels. It did not say demons. The Lord gave me a revelation on this today. The devil has angels. And these angels he have are those who are the angels of light. And they are used to bring deception in the church. Their job is to penetrate a church, bring an angel light up in there. He's bringing contention. He's bringing strife, and they can't see it. Okay, so remember the difference between angels and demons. And let's look at this in Scripture. It's in Matthew 25:41. It says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed. Now, when you go to hell, you're in the curse. Ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared. So what is hell prepared for? The devil and his angels. Notice it didn't say anything about demons. It just said his. It says devil and his angels. So look at that. He was prepared for Satan and his angels again in Matthew 25:41. Now the devil is going to get shut down temporarily. He's going to come back. Let's look at that. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. Let's look at this. What is this that God is trying to show us about Satan? We're talking about hell, so I want to get with Beelzebub first and get him out the way, and then we're going to break some other issues down. In Revelation 21, it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, the Lord showed me this, that there's an angel. His name is Apollyon. And he is the angel over the bottomless pit. So you got Gabriel, Michael, and Apollyon. The Lord gave me revelation to that. And Apollyon holds the key to the bottomless pit. So God has an angel. Thank you, Jesus. Just as well as he had an angel to set at the Garden of Eden. When God closes things down, he uses angels. Either shut something down or stop somebody from coming in or stop that area where the spirit realm that where it can be shut down. He did use angels. Also, God used the angels for Samson. Angels was talking to Samson's mother and father about his prophecy. So God will use angels. And study the book of the book of Judges. And I think, thank you, Lord. I think he just told me Judges 14 chapter. And that's where you see Samson at in Judges 14. So let's look at that very briefly. Now, let's look at, again, Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon and the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Okay? Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, 8, and 9, you're going to see something else that's going to change. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." So there is a prison cell in hell for the devil, and he knows it. After that, he will go back to the earth after the 1,000 years, according to Revelation 7 and verse 8, and said, "And shall go out to deceive the nations." Now, the reason why God is letting them out again, to make sure that when people come to heaven, they're pure. Some people during that 1,000 years, they're going to be bitter. They're going to, same like same folks today, want to come up against authority, who you think he is, and deep in their heart, they don't want to submit to Christ. So what the Lord is going to do is bring the devil out. He's going to bring the devil out and let them be seen who they are in their heart, and that stopped them from going to heaven. Because everybody, you ain't going to heaven with a negative attitude like that. And if you don't, and if you're doing like that with pastors on earth, you can forget heaven. You're not going to heaven. Because you can't represent natural thought, more or less Jesus. And thanks to Apostle Eckhart, and I hope that he's listening to me with his wisdom. I thank you, Apostle Eckhart, if you're still listening. You, my brother, got your back. "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog." And we'll get into prophecy. That's Russia. So we need to set that back. I don't want to get into prophecy because we'll start talking about Russia. And what I'm trying to show you is that the devil will be loose. Now, let's go to Revelation 20, verse 10, and it's going to show you something else. In Revelation 20:10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstones, where the beast and the false prophets," there go again, so false prophets and the beast, the devil, the beast, and the false prophets, these are high-ranking spirits. It says three individual persons here. One, the devil. Two, the beast. Three, the false prophets. "Are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, in his kingdom, the kingdom of the devil, always says day and night. But God's kingdom in Joshua says the opposite. And if you turn to the book of Joshua, I'm going to show you something. Where's Joshua? Someone give me the book of Joshua. Okay, we're going to show you how this kingdom is going to close. Now, when Satan is in operation, the Bible has given us two distinguished kingdoms. Matthew 12, 26, we know that. Matthew 12, 28, they're two kingdoms. But here you will see the kingdom of Satan in operation, and the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit, which is telling us that his kingdom is different than God's kingdom. But when Satan is bound in the false prophets, he shuts that down. It's only going to be one kingdom. Let me show you the code in the Bible. In the book of Mark, chapter 5, let's look at this. In Mark chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Because that he had been often bound with fetters," we're talking about the man with legions, "and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Watch this. In Mark 5, 5, "and always night and day." Now, that's the devil's kingdom. His is night, not day. Now, watch this. God's kingdom is in Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." So those are the two distinguished kingdoms. But if you look in Revelation, it changes after he's bound in the pit. And in Revelation chapter 20 and 10, it says, "And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be in torment," what? Day and night. That's only one kingdom then. That's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. So Satan doesn't have any more kingdom, and the author, which is the Holy Spirit, does not even recognize his kingdom no more in the Bible. That's it. All right, you learn something? So the Holy Spirit is in order. The Holy Spirit is very precise with Scripture. Notice here it says day and night. Why he's locked up in the kingdom. Because his kingdom is not, how is he going to operate his kingdom if he's locked up? That's why it's no longer recognized night and day. You see people coming out at night, creatures at the night. Okay? So that's food for thought. Now, the word grave. Now, we have to understand that the grave is where a person dies. Okay, and the author, which is the Holy Spirit again, talks about the grave in the Old Testament as hell. But it also distinguishes as a natural grave site. We're going to talk about the grave briefly. Turn to Genesis 35:20. In Genesis 35:20. "And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave." That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. That's an ordinary grave. That is not meaning in reference to hell, okay? That's an ordinary grave. Let's look at this here. The other words, grave, will be about hell. And if you look at Genesis 37:35, turn to Genesis chapter 37, verse 35. Genesis 37:35. And it says, "And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave until my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him." That's hell. Also, Shiloh in the Hebrew, in Hades, that's where Jesus went. And that's in Genesis 42:38. And hell is also in Genesis chapter 44, verse 29. 25 times in the Old Testament, the word grave. It's 25 times in the Old Testament. If you go study and you look up grave, you're only going to see it 25 times in the Old Testament. You're going to see it twice in the New Testament. It's only twice in the New Testament. Now, pit. What is this pit that people are talking about? Well, that's another place in hell. There's different compartments in hell. Okay, the Lord showed me a vision, and I went down there, and I don't ever want to go down there, ever, no more. And I went to the halls of theology. And God showed me where all these preachers in the hell, when they're giving a false doctrine, chasing after women, and doing evil things against God, being double-minded. Let's look at this word pit. What is this now? We're talking about hell and compartments in hell. Let's look at pit, and let's look at Genesis chapter 37, verse 20. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 20. "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beasts have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Okay, let's look at Numbers chapter 16, verse 30. Numbers chapter 16, verse 30. We're talking about hell here. Different compartments of hell. My name is Pastor Emmett Overton. If you would like feedback, please send us feedback at fdimresearch@hotmail.com. Please do not criticize Apostle John Eckhart, Norval Hayes, Kenneth Hagin, Derek Prince, and any of the people that we have on this internet radio station, because the Lord has put them on there. And if you go up against them, you're going up against Jesus. Numbers chapter 16, verse 30. It says, "But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all the what? Appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the what? Pit." That's hell. "Then shall ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And that is talking about hell. Again, it's in Job. The Bible speaks of bars. Hell has bars. And that's in Job chapter 17, verse 16. Hell has bars. And I did not know that hell has bars. And man never made bars. God gives people, man, ideas to invent things. He probably have made it before man made it. So let's look at Job chapter 17, verse 16. And then Job 17, 16 says, "They shall go down to the bars of the pit when I'll rest together in the dust." 9 times in the Old Testament you see pit. 9 times. 5 times in the New Testament. Again, the word pit is 9 times in the Old Testament, and it's 5 times in the New Testament. Now we're going to shift to Abraham's bosom. This was a holding place until Jesus Christ dies and resurrected. Okay, he has died and he went to hell and captivity is out. But the Bible says there's a place called Abraham's bosom. And what is this place? And the Bible speaks of a gulf. So, you know, this stuff is real. If you want to play church and you go to hell, I'm not taking a chance on my life going to hell for nobody. I'm not going to hell for nobody on this earth, because hell is not meant for people. It's meant for fallen angels. But because you disobey God, God has nowhere else to send you but to hell. Let's look at this story we've seen before in Luke 16:22. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Notice when you die that an angel carries you. Okay, now, when Jesus died on the cross and ascended into heaven, you don't have to have an angel no more, because Jesus is over Michael the archangel. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha Omega. The kingdom of God was transferred to the Lord Jesus. So before Jesus was, you know, when he was walking the earth, you had to have an angel to carry somebody. But not when Jesus took the keys of Satan, said, "Give me them keys back." You have access to the Lord now. Okay, but here the Bible says that an angel carried this person. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." The Bible said it is died, boom. But notice this here. "As soon as they die, don't nobody carry them nowhere." Next verse. "And in hell he lifted up his eyes." So there's no angel there for you. Apollyon, he's the only angel that holds the key of the pit. So he's not coming to open up no pit for you, because that's a different storage compartment in hell. Hell has different compartments. "And in hell he lift up his eyes," so that you can see in hell. They can see you. Okay? "Being in torment." So in hell you feel that. You have natural feelings. Imagine burning like that in the natural. Put your hand on a hot stove. That's like that every day. Just put your hand on a hot stove and let it set there. You can't take the pain. That pain is every day, and gashing of the teeth every day. So you can be in torment. You can feel the physical torment according to the Bible. You can see in hell, because the Bible says he lifted up his eyes. Now, these are not natural eyes that go to heaven, that go to hell. Spiritual. Your spirit goes to hell because it hasn't been renewed. You have disobeyed God and you followed your own way. And when you follow Balaam, that's what happened. "Being in torment and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. So people cry in hell. One, they cry. Two, they see. Three, they have feelings. And said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me. So in hell, people are crying out for mercy. It's too late. Too late. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tongue of his finger in water so his fingers can feel that torment. Now, I don't know how that is. And the spirit, whatever, however, that I don't know. But God is showing me these are the emotional feelings that people have in hell. And cool my tongue, for I am in torment and in flames. So you have flames while all this stuff is going on. So is it really worth, you going through all this over somebody, compromising God's word for somebody? Because you saved and you married, that don't mean your wife going to heaven or you, or your husband going to heaven, vice versa. She can go to hell and you go to heaven. No guarantee. She's sanctified on earth. That's a covering, extra covering. But if she don't follow into God's word and submit to God's word and you being a Christian, it's dangerous for them. Very much more dangerous because God's going to honor what you're doing instead of what they're doing. God's honor those who walk in his word. So vice versa. If a woman, she's serving the Lord, and a man, he mediocre, he can go to hell. And if they don't obey God's word, they will go to hell. He or she, doesn't matter. It says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is in comfort, and thou art tormented. So you're tormented. And besides, all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. So a person in heaven can't go over there. They may be trying to go get their loved one. Mm-mm. A person in hell can't go there. It's amazing how they can, people in hell can see. But it didn't say anything about what people in heaven can do. So we don't know what they can do. I don't think they should be interested in seeing it to be serving Christ up there. Okay, so that's Lazarus. Okay, the word Hades in Shiloh, New Testament, it's called Hades, H-A-D-E-S. Old Testament, it's called Shiloh, S-H-E-O-L. Deuteronomy chapter 32, 22. In Amos 9, 2, it says, though they dig into hell, there shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, there will I bring them down. Now, this is very interesting. Jonah, the prophet, and if you really noticed, if you studied the book of Jonah, when I studied this, I said, okay, Lord, you had to show me what this is. The Bible is a mystery. It's a revelation. It's a book that has many mysteries. And when you're close to the Lord, and you believe in faith, you can get the revelation. You may see something in the Bible and read it and pass right by it. But the Lord has to give you the revelation out of it. So ask God to give you revelation. And that's requirements for revelation. Now, if you're a bastard, he's not giving his a bastard revelation. I'm sorry. If you have a son or a daughter, and you're special for family and fathers or mothers, you can understand it. You won't reward your child for something if they've done something wrong. So it must be rewards, and revelation is part of the reward. But if you're caught up in your flesh and you're moving by the flesh, revelation wouldn't mean anything to you because of your soulish. So watch this revelation God showed me. Jonah the prophet, he was in the well, but notice what he said in Jonah 2:2, and said, I cried by reason of my afflictions unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Jonah had a vision of hell. And he said, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Jonah was ready to act right. God said, okay, since you don't want to go to Nineveh, and in Nineveh there was 122,000 people he had saved. So God gave him a taste of hell. He said, I'm sorry, I'm ready to get it together. So he did that to protect Jonah. the word Sheolos, is that right? Sheol, thank you. Sheol is in the Old Testament 29 times. 29 times is in the Old Testament. And Caponia, which touches me, because when I see the word Caponia, I smile because I have a rock from Caponia in my radio station. In Matthew 11:23, and thou Caponia, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in Solomon, it would remain until this day. Now, God showed me something out of this. When God gives different people grace and mercy and grace and mercy, he's given extensive mercy. For some reason, he has answered generational prayers of your ancestors. Because here he said it would have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah. The reason why it wasn't done in Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a wicked generation. So when your ancestors are praying for you, God is honoring that. That's why he gives you more grace, give you more love, and because of some righteous person prayer. The righteous man prayer what? That's right. He's still going to answer that prayer because they're righteous in Christ's eyesight. You may not know who they were. And that's the revelation he came out of that. Hell has gates. We know it has bars, but let's look at the gates. Let's turn to Matthew 16:18. Hell has gates. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates, G-A-T-E-S, of hell shall not prevail against it. It has gates. Also, he mentions it again in Luke chapter 10, verse 15. In Luke 10, 15, he says, and thou Caponia, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell, and hell has gates. Amen. Now let's talk about the bottomless pit. What is this bottomless pit? Who's over the bottomless pit? Do human beings go to the bottomless pit? Does demons go to the bottomless pit? Let's see what the Bible says about the bottomless pit and what is it biblically. Turn to Revelation, abase, A-B-Y-S-S. Abase, is that the right word, brothers? Abyss, thank you. Abyss, A-B-Y-S-S. Help me out if I got a wrong word and I'm human. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. It says in Revelation chapter 9, let's look at 9, 1, 2, and 11. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Notice that the word star here, stars represent angels. He saw a star. And you know when a heavenly host of angels, a third of them was cast down, you know that's in Revelation, what, 12? And it says that a third of the heavenly host angels, a third of the star heaven was what? Cast down. And if I can show this to you. In Revelation 12:4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to deliver for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So when you hear star, that represent angels. And here in Revelation 9:1, it speaks of a particular star, and this is Apollyon. He is an angel over the pit. And it says here, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke. Who's this he? Okay. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reasons of the smoke of the pit. That's why you got some folks running around here talking about demons go to the pit. You don't send demons to the pit because they're locked up. It's not open. And I was with a ministry, and won't give a name, but I don't cast demons to the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, and scorpions of the earth had power. And then if you go down to Revelation 9:11, And it says, and they had a king over them, which is the what? There he is. Which is the angel of the what? Bottomless pit. So there's a particular angel that has the key to this bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is what? There he is, abandoned. But in the Hebrew, but in the Greek tongue, had his name is Apollyon. And that is an angel. And his job is to hold that key. That's his job. Okay? And then if you look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimonies, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit. So these are some real high-ranking spirits here that's deep down there. Beast, angels, demons. There's different ranks in the demonic kingdom. Shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Let's look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou servest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the what? Bottomless pit. The beast. These are some high-ranking spirits, high-ranking fallen angels. The pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder whose names was not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, where they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Boy, that's deep. And I don't want my name next to any of that. Satan has angels and demons. There are differences. Now, I want to show you the difference again. I want to reiterate this before I go to something else. If you turn back to Matthew 25, verse 41, connect it with 2 Corinthians 11, 4. And it's going to show you that Satan has demons and angels. Now, how are you going to know the distinguish between which one is in operation? Gifts of discernment of the Holy Spirit. That's how you're going to know the operation of these. Well, what's going on? You may have an angel in your church, and you don't know what's causing all that commotion. You may have a false angel hanging over your husband, stopping them to get free, or over your wife. That's why you need to understand spiritual warfare to combat it. I'm going through so much. Why I'm going through all this? I'm teaching deliverance. I got a thorn in my flesh. Paul had one. And the devil just trying to crank it up. He's trying to crank that thing. And I'm battling. Go in the battle. Find your situation. You don't want that situation to send you to what? To hell. It's not worth it. Deal with it while you're on earth. Now, let's look at this. Satan and his angels. We want to talk about his angels. I want to show you something. Go back to Matthew 25:41. For you women who's been abused, raped, please contact Pastor Candace Durden at fdimresearch@hotmail.com. And you can contact my wife, Mae Bovington, New Haven's Christian Counseling Center for counseling if you need that. Okay, let's go to Matthew 25:41. We're going to show you the difference between demons and Satan's angels. And in Matthew 25:41, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Now, here you'll see how these angels are in operation. Go to 2 Corinthians 11:4. I love deliverance. I love teaching deliverance. Boy, I love it. I'm hooked, man. I just like teaching deliverance, Lord. 2 Corinthians 11:4. It's a blessing to learn deliverance. It's needed, much needed in the church. People don't know what they're coming up against. And here it says, forgive me, 2 Corinthians 11:15. Let's go to 13. For such are 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. So you got people that's false prophets that's trying to get into the church with false doctrine. Sound very good, looks good, but there's error. And then it says here, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transferred into an angel of light. So if the devil is Satan can be transferred, his angels also have that same power that he has given them. So the angels of the devil are different from demons. They said, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transferred as the ministers of righteousness. So you have, the devil has ministers that's in the church that's operating as a man of God. And here's what I think that what they are personally. A pastor that doesn't recognize the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's only teaching a church doctrine, I think that he's been deceived by the devil. He doesn't even know that the devil's deceiving him. Tradition, church tradition, Brother John, deacons, Baptist, I'm hitting Baptists, I'm hitting the Catholics, I'm going to hit all of you. Because if you're denying the truth of the Bible, I can't stand up to it. So they are used by the devil with these working spirits operating in them, deceiving them to accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what's blocking the Holy Spirit in some of these churches. And the devil has sent angels over these churches with that doctrine. And they operate in the doctrine of the law, not in the liberty of Christ. So the devil is at work. And if you give in to that doctrine, you're in some trouble. Let's turn to Luke 8:26. Luke 8:26. And if you see here where the devils and how they torment people is a little bit different than how angels do. The Bible doesn't show us how angels go in operation, Satan's angels. It doesn't show that. It just shows us mostly how demons operate. They say Satan and his angels. But I haven't seen scriptures yet, and God will forgive me the revelation of it, what they do and how they operate, those these angels from Satan. But here in Luke 8:26, you'll see how demons operate in people, which are different from angels. Okay, now here's some scriptures before we close. Your body can be in hell when you die. Proverbs 1:12, Matthew 5:29, and Matthew 10:28. Everlasting darkness, write these down in scripture. Everlasting darkness. 1 Samuel 2:9. Psalms 49:19. Again, 1 Samuel 2:9. Psalms 49:19. Psalms 88:6. Proverbs 20:20. Matthew 25:30. 2 Peter 2:4. 2 Peter 2:17. Jude 1:13, Revelation 6:10. Let's look at the degrees of punishment in hell. The degrees of punishment in hell. Proverbs 9:18. Zechariah 1:6. Hebrews 10:28-29. Hell and its destruction. Again, hell and its destruction in hell. Job 21:30. Job 31:3. Job 31:23. Psalms 9:17. Psalms 16:10. Psalms 32:10. Psalms 88:11. Psalms 103:4. Psalms 139:19. Proverbs 10:29. Proverbs 11:21. Proverbs 15:11, I believe in giving a lot of scripture, because scripture represents the sword of God. You bang these demons. Proverbs 21:15, we're talking about destruction in hell. And Proverbs 31, verse 8. Isaiah 1:28. Matthew 7:13. Matthew 13:42. Matthew 13:50. Matthew 23:33. Matthew 24:51. Matthew 25:30. Luke 13:3. Luke 16:23. Romans 3:16. Again, Romans 3:16. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. 2 Peter 2:9. Eternal separation in hell. Proverbs 15:9. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Fear in hell. There is fear in hell. Job 18:14. Job 31:23. Psalms 55:4. Psalms 73:18-19. Proverbs 10:24. Hebrews 10:31. Fire and burning in hell. Fire and burning in hell. Deuteronomy 32:22. Job 18:15. Job 31:12. Psalms 11 verse 6. Psalms 37:20. Psalms 140 verse 10. Isaiah 66:24. Matthew 5:22. Matthew 13:30. Matthew 18:8. Matthew 18:9. Matthew 25:41. We got six of them in Mark. Six of these are going to be in Mark. Mark 9:43, 44, 45, 46.
Okay, praise God and welcome again to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We want to thank you for listening to us here at FDIM Internet Radio Ministries. We're going to give the mic to Chaplain John Durton. Chaplain John Durton, you got the mic.
Good evening, everybody. Let me tell you something. Now, for those who still deceive, talking about I'm writing all the sermons and writing all this teaching notes and everything else, that's a lie out of the pits of hell. And nowhere I've been to the same seminary you guys been to, and it didn't teach nothing like us. Now, you heard him spit out all those scriptures. He hadn't written those things down. And I don't have the slightest idea where they are, except what I'm writing down. It's the Holy Spirit. He, from the moment he started to just now, he's repeating what the Holy Spirit is telling him. But some of them, don't we know you tell him he's not educated. He's not educated. Now, folks, I've been the same seminary you guys are. And you know good and well they didn't teach us none of that stuff. And I'm not that deep in Revelation kind of a thing. And about heaven, it's the first time I heard, no, not the first time, because he brought back a lot of memories. I remember when God called, walked up to him while he was in the office and said, my name is Jesus of Nazareth. I will teach you. And he ran out of his little office that I gave him. He was sitting over there because he had nothing else to do. And he ran over to my office and said, Brother John, do you know the Lord spoke to me? I said, yeah, what did he say? He says, my name is Jesus of Nazareth. I will teach you, my son. Now, all those mostly scriptures he was spitting out, he wasn't looking at no paper, and ain't nowhere in the world. I was writing down all that stuff because, I mean, it blew my mind. And to make things short, this is bring back real strong memory after he rededicated his life to the Lord, and God told me to anoint him. A man with a high school diploma, God told me to anoint him. But I did what the Lord wanted me to do. He got to try to get other ministers to anoint him, but they wouldn't. So he came to me, and I did what the Lord wanted me to do. Now, God showed him that hell is real. Now, I can understand how you can relate to this, because he came to run in the hospital one morning. Brother John, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. What happened? He said, the Lord came in my bedroom. And he said, Emmett, I'm going to take you down to hell and show you what it's like. And I go, nah, this guy's going crazy or whatever. What's happening? And then he says, I said, what happened? He says, I went down. It was called the Halls of Theology. I said, Halls of Theology? Yeah, the hall is just another way of saying it's a long hallway, like going from California to Georgia to Africa or whatever. And in those long halls, you see number cages with ministers in it, called the Halls of Theology, because that was the place where ministers go, evangelists go, everybody who involved with the Christian ministry, you know, kind of a thing. And he says, what happened? The Lord took his spirit out of his body and said, come on, and took him down to hell. And he was trembling while he was sharing this thing with me. And I said, come on, man, you know, you drinking or what? No, it's true. I said, what happened? He said, he took me from one cell to the other. And you know what was going on, Brother John? I said, well, he said, you had a woman in one cell, and she was just in the angel told me, sing a song. Come on, Jesus, I love you. He said, no, wrong one. And praising the devil said, you praise me. And so ministers going from one, and from each year, like from 2001, from 492 from the year, 313 from the year, 102 from the year. And he was going down that long corridor. And the year that angel died, that was the number, not the angel, but that minister died, is the name of the cell, 201, 102, something, whatever. But and they didn't see him. They walked by. He said, I can see them. But they can't see you because your spirit, your body still laying in your bed. This is your spirit. Oh, okay, Lord. And took him from one cell to the next cell, and he saw cells. Yes, Lord, no. Yes, Lord. He said, all right. Yes, Jesus. No, yes, Satan. Praise you, Satan. No. Yes, Lord. He said, they went to another one, and then God let those pastors see them. And one pastor went, oh, my God. He said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I repent. He said, sorry. You don't repent after you die. You repent before you die. And then one pastor had the nerve. You know what the pastor said to Jesus? He said, he heard. He was right there looking at it. But the pastor didn't see him. The pastor was there in hell in this particular cage. And he told me, I'm sorry, Lord. Give me another chance, Lord, please. I believe you, who you are. Come on, Lord. And Lord said, I'm sorry. You don't say I'm sorry. You repent. Nothing but worship. And then he said, and the pastor came down, well, the hell with you then. I don't need you. That's what that meant, the pastor said to the Lord. And then they kept on going from one case, one cell to another, like from year one all the way up to year 19, whatever the year the person died. And that name was the number of the cell called the Halls of Theology. And he goes to another cell, and there's another preacher put on his robe and his ring and just prancing back and forth, practicing, yes, and Satan is out, God, yes, praise Satan, yes. And he was practicing. And Satan come and say, all right, now, you know, you're going to be preaching for me an hour from now. And yes, Satan, my Lord. And he saw all that. And then he says, and the Lord says, come on, let's go back. And he said, in a second, he was back in his bedroom. And he couldn't believe what he saw and everything else. And God confirmed that vision to him. And then a couple of weeks later, the Lord said, all right, let's go back down. He said, no, he said, John, I don't want to go back down there. And boy, I mean, he was trembling right in front of me. I said, you really been? He said, yeah. Man, he showed me it's real. Now, he says, down in hell is what you call the halls of theology. Theology just means where preachers go. And he says, and each one of them was practicing. One preacher hollered at the other one, you got your sermon ready for our master Satan? And they just practicing, yes, and Satan, we love you, Satan. And oh, bless you, Satan. And then the last one, here's a woman in one of her cells. And he said, Brother Emmett said, when he and the Lord walked past her cage, the Lord gave her the opportunity, the blessing to see them both. And she told me, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sin. And she said, and when my brother said he saw that woman, there were flies, gnats all flying all on her, all kind of worms and everything coming in and out of her ears and everything, and she was suffering like hell. And he told me, I'm sorry, Lord. And she was one of the top prostitutes on earth when she was living. And then she said, please, Lord, I repent. Lord told her the same thing. You don't repent while you died here. You repent before you get here. And he said, you know what that, and Emma said, Brother John, did you know what that lady said to Jesus? I said, no, I ain't been down there. Well, what did she say? She said, well, the hell with you. I don't need you. I don't need you. Hell with you. And started cussing and everything else. And then Jesus took Brother Emmett a couple of more cells and showed different ministers from different time zones, from the first century all the way up to the present century that we are now. And God was going to take him a second time. But he said, no. He said, come on, let's go back. And he went up, and he says, when they came back in the bedroom, he saw his body laying on the bed like it's asleep. And Lord said, okay, you're back home. And then, poop, he went back into his spirit, into his body. And God left him. And he's speaking some of the stuff he's saying is from personal experience. I just want to share that, Brother. I know you didn't know I was going to say that, but I just had to share it. So, letter of the Lord, to share of your personal experience in hell. And you saw all those cages, like in a prison. And they got numbers over, like, the year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know, 1492, 19-something, 20-something. And the year you die, that's the number of that cage you're going to be in, kind of a thing. And their people saw you screaming and hollering and crying and everything else. But they saw it was no good. Even the woman told them, I'm sorry, I know it's a prostitute and all that, but forgive me, Lord, I ain't going to do it no more. I'm sorry. And Jesus, I'm sorry. What the hell with you? I don't need your heaven. That kind of a thing. It's really true. Thank you. I know you didn't know I was going to say that, brother. I didn't even know that either. But you've been there. God showed you all those cells and all those ministers and paths from the different time zones. Write the number. Instead of saying number cell number 102, they may have cell number 2022, the year you died. And I just had to share that. I didn't plan to say that, but I had to do what the Lord wants me to do. God bless you.
This is Derek Prince with a word for you from the Word. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Those are words of very practical wisdom. There's a proverb in the Latin language. If I quote it to you in Latin, probably most of you wouldn't understand, but it's very brief. It says, bis dat quaecito dat, which means, he gives twice, who gives quickly. What wisdom there is in that. When a person is in need, and you have the ability to supply that need, and the person is worthy of your help, don't hesitate, don't wait, don't hold back. If you give quickly, it's like giving twice. If you keep them waiting and frustrate them, then your gift will not really be blessed the way it should be blessed. So don't withhold that which is good from those who deserve it. Don't say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow when you have it with you. There's a kind of stinginess. There's a kind of lack of total honesty there, which somehow spoils the act of giving. Remember that. He gives twice who gives quickly. Next time you have the opportunity to give, don't hold back. Don't hesitate. Don't do a lot of mental calculation. Just respond to the need of your neighbor and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Give without hesitation. Give without any reservation. Just give freely. Because as you give, God will give back to you.
God was at work in the 20th century. There'll be one name that's bound to feature prominently. Derek Prince. A humble man and a world-class Bible scholar, his steadfast commitment to God and obedience to the Holy Spirit turned him into one of the most loved and respected Bible teachers of his time. For over 6 decades, Derek Prince's life-changing Bible teaching became a source of inspiration to millions of Christians around the world. Derek Prince was born into a British military family in Bangalore, India, in 1915. At the age of 14, he won a scholarship to Eton, and, later on, a place at Cambridge. Having excelled in his studies, Derek was elected to a prestigious fellowship in ancient and modern philosophy at King's College, Cambridge, the youngest person ever to be elected to that position. Derek's academic career was interrupted abruptly by World War II. In 1940, on the basis of his philosophical convictions, he chose to join the Royal Army Medical Corps as a non-combatant. Despite declaring at the time that religion doesn't do much for me, Derek took a Bible with him to read on his postings, considering it to be a philosophical work. At first, the Bible made little sense to him. But as he continued to read his Bible in an army barrack in Yorkshire in July 1941, God opened Derek's eyes. On that day, God taught him two crucial lessons that remained with him for the rest of his life. Recalling that supernatural experience, he says,
"I heard the voice of Jesus speaking very, very clearly through the scriptures, the Bible. And from the day that I heard his voice till this day, there are two things I've never doubted. I've never doubted that Jesus is alive, and I've never doubted that the Bible is the Word of God."
Almost immediately after his powerful conversion, Derek Prince was shipped off to North Africa, where he spent 3 years serving as an army medic and being discipled in God's Word in the deserts of Egypt, Libya, and the Sudan. At the end of the war, Derek was discharged in Jerusalem, where he met and married a Danish missionary, Lydia Christensen. In doing so, he became a father of 8 girls, whom Lydia had adopted. Derek and Lydia lived in Jerusalem until after the founding of the State of Israel in 1948. It was there he felt the calling to both serve and pray for God's people, the children of Israel. It was a calling he passed on to countless others. In late 1948, as the newborn state of Israel struggled for survival, the princes reluctantly left Jerusalem and moved to England, where Derek became a pastor of a small Pentecostal church in central London. As he ministered in London and later on in Kenya and in the United States, Derek sensed that all was not how it should be and could be in the lives of Christian believers. He saw how many Christians often struggled to rise above the challenges of everyday life. That's why he constantly encouraged those he ministered to, that they should get closer to God through Bible reading and prayer. In the early 1960s, while pastoring a church in Seattle, Washington, Derek was thrust into ministering God's deliverance after being confronted by a demonic manifestation right in front of his pulpit. As time went on, more and more people wanted to hear Derek Prince open up the scriptures to them and help them know more of the power of God. The ever-growing demand for Derek Prince's insights on audio and video cassettes as well as books led to the opening of the Derek Prince Publications Office in Fort Lauderdale, Florida in 1971. In 1975, Lydia died after nearly 30 years of fruitful marriage and ministry with Derek. The loss was devastating for Derek, but he began to work and travel more than ever. A couple of years later, while in Jerusalem, Derek prayed for a woman named Ruth Baker, who had seriously injured her back. Over time, the Lord revealed to Derek that he was to marry Ruth, whom he hardly knew. Following much prayer and testing, Derek and Ruth were married in 1978, and the Lord launched them into a new phase of ministry together. This new phase was marked by the launch of the first daily radio broadcast, Today with Derek Prince, which initially aired on 8 stations in the United States. The word God gave to Derek about using radio for ministry was, "Proclaim, short, simple messages, easily understood, declaring basic scriptural truths." Today, Derek's radio broadcasts, books, and internet-based resources reach millions of Christians around the globe in over 100 languages. Derek and Ruth Prince continued to minister in many nations as the demand for Derek's teaching increased tremendously until Ruth passed away in December 1998. In the autumn of 2003, Derek Prince died in his beloved Jerusalem, his home for nearly 20 years. He was 88 and left behind a wonderful legacy. To those who had the privilege of knowing him, he left an inspiring example, one of yieldedness to God, love for the church, a heart for Israel, and a roaring passion to see God's people